This is the day that the Lord has set aside for us to worship Him. Have a kind of a mixed up lesson today, but we'll get to that here in a second. Glad to have each one of you today. Hope that you have had a good week and that you'll have a better week next week. Summer is coming and it's coming hard, so we know that we're going to have hot days, and some days we can stand it better than others, but it's good today to be in a place where it's cool and comfortable. How many of you have a request of prayer today? We'll try to pray this time. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Brother Roger? Amen. All right. Don't miss nobody. Well, I'm sure we all have something we can pray about. I find something every day different. Because every day is different. But every day is a new day. And I'm grateful that we can come before the Lord this morning and call upon His name. And if you don't want to give out your prayer request, then just pray for me. That'll help me. And it'll help you also. So let's look to the Lord in prayer at this time. A great God, we come before You this morning again, thanking You for this day that You've created. We thank You this morning, Father, that You woke us up, set us on our feet, and give us life, health, and strength in this body. We worship You today, O God, and give thanksgiving unto Thy name, because it's in You, Father, that we know we live, move, and have our being, that You are the God who hath created and made us, not ourselves. We're the sheep of Your pasture, Your people, and we come today, Lord, to worship and to serve and to honor You. Father, we pray for every request of prayer. You know every heart. And we know, God, today that every one of us has some need, some order that we need to talk to You about. Sometime, Lord, we just need to do it, Father, in the closet like You have said. But if it's all right with You, Lord, we'll just do it now, God. And, Father, make it all known unto You as we come before You this morning asking You for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your divine direction, and for Your will to be done as we endeavor this morning, God, to bring the bread of life to Your children this morning. They might be fed, Father, from Your word by the Spirit of the Lord, that You would anoint the word of God today, that we might rejoice and be glad in it. For God, this is a day that You have made for us to come to the house of the Lord to refresh ourselves, not only for our health, but for our soul, O God, today. So, Father, bless every heart, every life, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver them that abound. And Father, all that You do for us, we'll prayerfully praise You and give You glory, for we ask in the name of our Father and Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good to be here this morning. The story today that we're going to be studying about, well, like I say, it's actually, they combine two different topics here. One of them is concerning the apostles, because this is just a few days after a few weeks after Pentecost, and they, if you go back to the fourth chapter, you'll read about Peter, where he had been called to the house of Cornelius, how that they had, he had preached the word of God, how they had been saved, how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then go on from there then, and we get into another aspect of the lesson, and it's concerning what? You remember? What do we connect Ananias and Sapphira to? What's the first thought comes to your mind? Ananias and Sapphira is another famous lesson in the Bible, and everything that we read and study in the Bible was put there for a purpose. Every character, every story, every command, every word that's written in that Bible there was put there because it's important. And it has a place in our life, somebody's life. And the only way that we know what God expects of us is to get it from the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible said, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And Jesus said that you and I are the light of the world. What light? That same light that's a lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. We need to be prayerful about our light and let it through, like Jesus said, don't hide it under a bushel. But let everybody know that you are a servant of the Most High God, that you are a child of the King, that you love God, and that you're looking for His soon return. Now, the lesson that we're studying about today is one that it's not, like I say, maybe it's not news to everybody, but it may be to some. Encountering Deception is the title of it, and persecution to go along with it. Now, the deception has to do with Ananias and Sapphira, and the persecution has to do with Peter and Paul, James and John, and those early disciples that were come out of the upper room. And if you remember that Peter, whenever he came out of the upper room, and those that were gathered around heard all those 120 people speaking in their language, and they were all confused probably and wondered what in the world is happening. God works in mysterious ways. The Bible said wonders to behold, and this is one of them. And those people came out of the upper room speaking in languages that none of them knew anything, had never been educated in it, didn't know how. But you see, whenever God takes over, things change. Because you do things that you ordinarily would not do in the flesh. And you'll find out that when the Spirit of God gets on you, you don't have no control, no how. You talk behind you, turn it all over to God. Let God use you. And things will happen. So as we look into the lesson this morning, we get to let you get just a little familiar here with it. And the lesson overview of it, we'll just start with that. In this lesson, we see how the early church at Jerusalem, with God's help, dealt with an internal threat. Now, this has to do with the deception that he's speaking about here. What was it? Well, the Bible teaches us in Acts, that fourth chapter, that whenever that all the 120 came out of the upper room, and oh my, you know, they were all on fire for God, and the disciples were preaching the Word of God. Peter preached a sermon at the first one, and what happened? What happened when Peter preached after he came out of the upper room? They had a revival. What happened? 3,000 souls were saved when Peter preached that sermon that he preached when they came out of the upper room, after he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit along with all the rest of the disciples and the 120. So the gospel message and the gospel bells began to ring, and the lights was turned on. There was the darkness was dissipating fast. But there, he tells us that there was an internal threat of deception and the external threat of persecution. And, you know, I don't know, they tell us now that there's more persecution going on all over the world than it's ever going on, even in Bible times as far as that's concerned. And I know this much, that in this world that we're living in today, it is a world of total deception. You can't believe nothing hardly that you hear. If there's, you know, when I was reading this lesson, the thought came to me about what was the first sin that ever was introduced into the world. What was it? Huh? No, well, not the, that's the first sin that was introduced was a lie. The devil deceived Adam and Eve with a lie. And let me tell you, the Bible teaches us in the Word of God in Revelations 21 and 8 that all liars shall have their part in a lake of fire in hell. All liars. Now, people, if you read the paper, look at the news on television, or listen to the radio, you know that we live in one of the most lying times that we have ever lived in our life. Now, you can agree with that or not. But if you keep up with what's going on as much as you possibly can, you can't with everything, you will find that that we are living in a time of deception that like never has been in the, on the face of the earth. And that we're living in a time when God is hated worse than he's ever been hated as in history of this country. You see, this used to be Christian America, founded on the principles of God's word. And we used to try to save all the rest of the world. Right now, we're more needful to have a revival and in this country and to see people saved than they are anywhere in the world. You're awful quiet this morning. I don't know whether you believe what I'm saying or not. Do you? Oh, well, we're going on here. He said they were deceivers who were members of the Christian community of faith. I want you to understand that. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the early church, and they were in good standing of the church. But that didn't keep them from doing something wrong. You see, Christians are noted to fall. We have several occasions in the Bible, and we could go through some of them, and we could see right quick how easy that it is to be deceived by Satan, just like Adam and Eve was, and fall away from the grace of God. You say, well, what did they do that was so bad? Well, as I was fixing to tell you a while ago, in the early church, whenever after the revival and the church began to grow, the Bible said that they had all, they sold and give away or done away with all of their possessions. But there was an ulterior motive behind that that went farther than just being generous. You know what it was? The early church believed that Jesus, since he had went away, and by the way, most of these people, no doubt, had already witnessed the fact that Jesus rose from this earth and get the message, hey, I'm coming back again. But he didn't say when. Nobody don't know when. The Bible said Jesus doesn't know. Nobody but the Father knows when he's coming, but let me tell you something, friend. He is coming. And you know what? When the times are get much worse, it's going to bring that on, I believe, quicker than it would have if this country was doing what it used to do 50 years ago. The best way to stay off God's judgment is to stay in line with what the Word of God teaches us and what God expects of us as human beings. But here, and as they began to sell their stuff and get rid of it and brought everything they supposed to, had made a communal agreement among them that They just divide what they had among them that didn't have so that everybody could fare sumptuously. In other words, they wouldn't nobody going to get rich off of it because none of them had that much. But if they had property, they sold their property. Joseph, Joseph was his given name, but the disciples gave him the name of Barnabas, had a piece of land, and he was not even of Judea, of Jerusalem. He was a man from Cyprus, but he was a believer, and that whenever he sold his property, he brought the proceeds from it that he got and laid them at the disciples' feet, which set a precedence for others. So I don't know. Ananias and Sapphira might have seen what was going on. They thought, well, you know, that's a good idea. So Ananias and Sapphira got together and they decided, hey, you know, we can do that. We can sell our property and we can fudge a little bit. You know what that is? That's why we didn't want to use the word cheat. We'd use the word fudge. And so they decided, well, you know, we'll keep a little of it for ourselves for hard times. So they went ahead and sold their property. And whenever Ananias brought the proceeds in to the disciples and laid them at Peter's feet, something happened. What was it? Oh, well, be sure your sins will find you out. How? Oh, I don't know, but this lesson today is a good illustration. It should put some thought in your mind. Hey, the Bible said that there is no secret from God. God sees all. God knows all. God hears all. So, you're left out in the open. You're at the mercy of God. So, Ananias brought his proceeds in and laid them like Barnabas did at the feet of Peter. And I presumably have to believe it this way, according to the scripture of the Bible, that Peter had a revelation from God. You know, God can use people and has used people throughout the Bible. That's why I say, because everything that we read and study in this Bible, no matter whether it's about somebody or something, it has a place in there and a need to be given to the people and taught the people so that we will know better and not make the same mistake. Bible said them to know good and doeth it not. What is it? Huh? Oh, that was awful weak. Them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible said it is sin. Now, you know, a lot of people like to hope we'd forget that verse of Scripture. Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Huh? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You breathing? Are you living? Are you worshiping God? Well, we'll let the silence take the precedence this place down. But anyhow, as Ananias laid out his money on the at the feet of Peter. Peter looked at him and he said, Ananias, is that what you sold your property for? He said, yes, sir. So Peter looked at him and said, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Didn't say he lied to him, but he lied to God, the Holy Ghost. You see, Peter was already filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, if you look in the scriptures in Romans, the Bible tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. There's several of them. And we ain't got time to go into all of that. If we did, well, I'd take my time, preacher's time, part of yours for lunch. But anyhow, this fact that Peter sensed through the Holy Spirit that wasn't right. And Peter, being bold, not being intimidated, not being fearful, you know, fear is what keeps a lot of people from doing some things that they'd like to do and want to do. Fear that one thing is fear of failure. Nobody likes to fail. Another thing is fear that they may make a mistake. Well, we don't like mistakes either, but we learn from our mistakes at least. Or at least I have in my lifetime, and I've made a few of bad ones. But I've learned a good lesson also. So Peter called his hand on this, and what happened? Something unusual. Something really that had you would wonder what in the world brought that on like that. The Bible said that Ananias fell over dead at the feet of Peter. That quick. Can death happen brought to us that quick? Sure it can. You know what? There's only one heartbeat. There's only one breath of life in you. And when either one of those stops, you stop. That's it. Life, as far as the physical is concerned, is over with. And not only that, we know that there's coming a time in our life, and especially as every day as we get older, we are made to realize that we're more vulnerable to sickness, disease, that we are more dependent on God, and that our time is running out, because the Bible said that it is appointed unto every man once to die. And God is the only one that knows that time of appointment. But when that time of appointment comes, we're going to leave just as fast as Ananias did. There ain't going to be no hope. There ain't no doctor, no medicine, no medical science that's going to keep us here. Because God said that we're going to die when that time of appointment comes. But it's going to listen here. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And Ananias, hearing these words, I saw, fell and gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost? Yeah. The spirit of life. That's what he's speaking about. You mean we have a ghost in us? We have a spirit of life in us. And God put it there. You see, we are dust of the earth, which is part of the earth, and soul of God from the breath of God. Because when God formed us from the dust of the earth in his likeness. And by the way, if you've been listening to the preacher when he preached the sermon about having eyes and ears, that's because we were formed in the dust of the earth in the image. What is an image? Well, I'm looking at what looks like the. It's the sun. It's an image of the sun or the moon, whatever. That's an image. And when you look at any picture and you look at it and you see that if it's a figure of a human being, whatever, and you look at it and you realize that is not alive. It's a picture. It's an image. So we are created in the image of God. And the part then that's likened to us is what God breathed within us. See, we were dust until God breathed the breath of life into our nostrils, and then we became a living soul. That's what the Bible said. It didn't say you become a living human being. It said you became a living soul. And the soul is still alive. It's still in us. How we take care of it is up to us. So, Ananias fell dead, gave up the ghost, And great fear came on all of those that heard these things. I'm sure that the word got out real fast. Now, where was Sapphira? They said, the lesson tells us Sapphira, his wife, must have been somewhere in another out-of-the-way place and away from where all of this was taking place, because she was void of the knowledge of it, didn't know anything had happened to her husband, and had no idea that he was dead and had already been taken out. You see, back in those days, they didn't have any way of embalming people and putting them in a refrigeration system and keeping them for weeks or months. The body began to decompose immediately after death. So it was a custom for, in those days and times, that when somebody died, they'd done something with the body immediately. Put it in a grave, wrapped in grave clothes or whatever. So, what does it say? And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, Sapphira, not knowing what had was done, came in when unto the audience, and it leaves out there. It goes from 7 to 10. I don't know why they done that, but we'll go back up here and take off from where it was at. And it was about the space of 3 hours, and when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much, for a price." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Well, she lied just like Ananias had. Now, you know, that'd be a sad situation to be caught in. As long as we're alive, if we can lie, and we know it, God condemns us, and we pray and ask God to forgive us, God can forgive us, and that lie won't be remembered no more. Be cast into the sea of forgiveness and forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us no more. But when something like this occurs, no recourse, man. The moment she lied, the moment she dropped over dead, just like her husband did. You see, God is aware of everything. There is no secrets from God. There used to be a song that they used to sing all the time back several years ago. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And that's the truth. You see, everyone have our own angel. Did you know that? According to the Bible. And that angel is always with us. And when we put ourselves in God's care and try to live in such a manner that we are a faithful and obedient witness for God and a servant of the Most High God, that God's going to take care of us. You know, people like, and they, some of them, believe it or not, they're still scared to death of COVID. Yeah. Still scared to death of COVID. I know that I've had a lot of sickness myself. In fact of the matter, I don't imagine there's anybody in here that's been kept alive any more times than I have by God. From the time I was born till I was 5 years old, I had pneumonia 3 times, double pneumonia twice, and was give up to die, to the point that the doctor, the last time he came to our house back then where I lived, the doctor came to the house, made house trips. And the doctor got ready to leave and told my dad that don't bother to call me no more. I have done all that I can do. He's going to die. And you just well to summons the grave diggers and let them start digging the grave. That's what told my father, my dad. My dad didn't believe that either. There was an old crabapple tree, about as far from here to the other side of the parking lot, across the road, down the cornfield. And my dad made his way to that old crab tree, fell on his face, and had a good talk to God. Well, you know, I've never had pneumonia since. I'll be 86 years old in August, and I ain't never had pneumonia since. The Bible tells us when God heals you, you're healed. You need to worry about it coming back. If God heals you, that ain't coming back. It's like I did when I had open heart surgery. I don't know much about it. I know that they rushed me to the hospital, threw me in a hospital bed, and there's about six people are working on me, and they run everybody else off. And I called my wife and told her that they're going to do a heart catheterization the next morning, that she needed to be at the hospital, and she showed up, and I was laying on a bed in the operating room, really, and they let her come in, and she told them what was going to happen, that they had, I was going to have to operate on my help open heart surgery, and that they told her that if the blockage was a quarter of an inch from the heart, and said if anything goes amiss, he's gone, we can't do anything. But we just want you to know that close, as close as you want to be, man. But my wife came in and told me that what they was going to do, and she said that I said, I don't care. I've got people praying for me. Now, she's sitting right over here. You can ask her. Yeah, I don't know a thing in the world about it. But here I am. 20-some years ago that happened. Yeah. And I am still here. Some of those doctors that were in that doctor's office room or in the hospital at that time, they've been deceased and gone on. But I'm still here. Yeah. And the same thing when I had Mercer. I was about dead when my wife had me moved out of the High Point Hospital to Winston. I done swelled so bad all over till they couldn't even get a straw in my mouth, put water in my mouth. Nobody could recognize me. So when they got me over there, and they analyzed me and everything, they told my wife, said, well, we don't know what it is, but we'll find out. But it is dangerous. He could leave from here. I was nearly, as far as my capabilities and my mind, I was already gone. I didn't know I was in the world. But God intervened. I'm still here. I don't know why. I don't have the slightest idea why that I have been blessed so much by God, and I'm still here on my feet. You see, God works in mysterious ways, all kinds of wonders to behold, and He will for you and anybody else. I credit it because of the fact that I have tried for the last 60-some years to serve God. That might have something to do, I don't know. And it was about the space of 3 hours after his wife, and not knowing what was done, came in. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. That was a Christian family. You see, just because we're Christians and we go to church doesn't exempt us from failing God. It's not me. It's not under my influence or spirit or power. It's God's. God is the one that gives us the strength that we need from day to day. God knows what you're going to face before you ever face it. Not that God purposes it, no more than He did this. But whenever we put ourselves in God's hands, and I was getting around to that a while ago when we was talking about COVID. Hey, some people today are still scared to death of COVID. Well, COVID came, COVID went. I didn't even know hardly that it came, except for the fact of what I seen, what I heard, and witnessed from my own eyes. It's not that I'm any different than you or anybody else. I'm flesh and blood. I'm successful to these diseases just like you are. The only protection I've got is the protection that God gives us. And when we put ourselves under God's umbrella and leave ourselves there and try to stay there, God will keep you. God will shield you. So when she fell down at her feet, dead, just like her husband did, they carried her out and buried her. Well, can you imagine now, by now, the word was out all over Jerusalem. Man, things were really blistering. The Sanhedrin court, those that's made up of the scribes and the Pharisees, they had already gotten Peter and John and brought them in for questioning because they were preaching about Jesus Christ. That's prior to Ananias and Sapphira. They had already brought them before the court and questioned them about this Jesus, commissioned them and said, "Don't you talk or preach about that man's name anymore." And they let them go. Well, you think they heeded that call? The devil, that's the first thing the devil would tell you anyhow. Don't do this for God. Don't do that. Don't go to church. Stay at home. Don't live right. The devil will tell you anything to get you off the track. And a lot of people are crazy enough to listen. It pays to know the voice that's speaking to your heart. And when you know the voice is speaking to your heart, you will know the voice then to follow. So, Peter and John, and then right back out. By the way, what really steered up the scribes and the Pharisees was that Peter and John, when they went up at the third hour of the day to the temple to pray, what did they do? First thing they done when they got to the temple, they met a lame man at 40 years old. It was lame from his birth, landed at the temple gate begging for alms. Well, I don't know what you might think, but I can imagine Peter looked at that and he said, "Whoop, here's another good opportunity." So Peter goes over and John, and they pray for the man to be healed. But that ain't all he done. What else did Peter do? When Peter got through praying, he reached over and got the man by the hand, and he stood the man up. Huh? He believed himself enough that God had healed the man till he just reached over. I don't know whether they told the man to get up or what, but he reached over and got a hold of him and stood him up. And when the man realized he was standing up, the Bible said he left there leaping joy and praising God because of what God had done. Yeah. So this had really stirred up the Sanhedrin. Now, they were really upset because that by doing this, and the word had got out about that, that they were people that was following them around, and they didn't like that. They didn't even like to hear the name Jesus. See, the Jews were, they was two different sects of Jews. There were some that believed, and there's some that didn't believe. And them that did not believe still don't believe today. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe in God only. And that may sound a little out of place, but that's the truth. That's the biggest problem that the Jews have today. God only. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. That's the reason that they have all the problems that they have. It's not that God is punishing them, but it's because of their lack of faith, they're punishing themselves. They've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they will. You read about in Revelation about the 144,000 that are converted. The Jews, they finally learned to believe after they've gone through what they have to go through with the tribulation, times of tribulation hits this world. But anyhow, after this, why, Peter and John, after all, they'd been through all this, Ananias and Sapphira, and they continued to preach the gospel. And this continued to rile up the Sanhedrins. So they arrested Peter and John again, and some of the other apostles. And this time, they said, well, we'll put them in jail. So they put them in jail. That was the second time they'd been arrested. First time, they went and got them. They just talked to them and told them, hey, you can't keep doing this. We won't have it. You've got to stop it. We don't want to hear you using the name of Jesus and preaching about this man no more. But they didn't pay any attention to that. You see, when you got God in your life, things make a big difference. Lord, have mercy. My time is almost gone. Anyhow, hey, you know what happened? They put them in jail. Locked the door. Yeah, stood guards at the door. And went on about their business. They thought, well, everything will be all right till tomorrow. We'll fix them tomorrow. It's going to have a court tomorrow. So the next day, come on in. You ain't bothering me. Just come in and find your seat. So the next day, the next morning, Sanhedrin got together, called their committees together, gathered up, and sent the guard to the jail house to bring the prisoners. When they got there, they found the guard standing at the door, just like they always did. Doors locked, just like they always were. So they unlocked the doors, and they went in. Uh-oh, something's wrong. Hey, there ain't nobody here. Think about that. Nobody there. The angel of the Lord came to that tent, was sent down that night, and unlocked the doors, unbeknown by the guards or by the Sanhedrin, and set them all free. Well, it wasn't long after that till they said, well, them both, those Jews are up here, apostles, disciples, is up here in the temple preaching again. They didn't fear man. They didn't fear the devil. They didn't fear the Sanhedrin. They were faithful and doing God's will. I'd like to keep on, but I'm going to have to quit. Because my time has run out. Thank you for putting up with me. Lord bless you.